prophetic book in the Old Testament. The book's name, Joel. Okay, read us three together. Chapter 1. All verses, chapter 1, verse 1 to 20, and key verses, 2:11, chapter 2, verse 11, and verse 28, 29. Let us read together chapter 1 alternatively, and key verses together. Okay, Joel, chapter 1, verse 1. Let me start. The words of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. Despair, your farmers, where you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. Put on sackcloth, O priest, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. The seas are shriveled beneath the clothes. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down, for the grain has dried up. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. Chapter 2, verse 11, verse 28, 29, let us read together. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. his forces beyond the number, and might those obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. This is dreadful. Who can endure it? And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we know, we believe without doubts, your day is coming. The day of the Lord is so great, so terrible to some, and so comfort to some. Who can stand it? Who can endure it? Help us to remember all the time, your day is coming. Already, your day is here with us. Father God, thank you for your mercy and faithfulness and grace and kindness and gentleness. Father God, we are here together in your name, in Jesus' name, to worship you. Please help us to fix our whole beings on our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, our King, our Lord, our Savior. Father God, at this moment, we want to remember in our prayer before you, our neighbors, our neighbor countries, especially those who are suffering, especially Japan and Ecuador, who are suffering from terrible earthquake. Father God, we pray for your mercy and healing power, recovering power and comforts upon them. O Lord, we confess before you, apart from you, we can do nothing. We are totally nothing without you. Our life is in you, in your hands, Almighty. You are sovereign God. Thank you for your grace again. Thank you for your words. This time we are to study your words. Joel, help us to open our hearts, our eyes, our ears, and understand what you want to speak to us, and help us to receive your words as your words, and help us to put your words into practice and bear much fruit, more fruit, so that our life may be accepted by you to glory you, to establish your kingdom in this world. We are your children and servant and ambassador in this world, sent from you, from your country, our hometown, that is heaven. Our citizenship is already in heaven. Thank you for your wonderful promise and prophets upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, as we know, some day ago there were terrible earthquakes in Japan and Ecuador. Still today, the death toll is increasing, and many of them are suffering from injury, wounds, and loss of loved one and things. You know, since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3 up to now, there has been no time when no disaster or calamity in a certain place in this earth on which we are living. Are you still breathing? Okay, no problem in breathing. If we are still breathing, you know, it is by the grace of God. Actually, we have no power to control our breathing. Yes, we can do something. We can do physical exercise. We can do something in our diet, we can change our lifestyle, but definitely speaking, we have no authority within us to control our blood pressure and the stroke of the pulse and eyesight. I know, I feel, I know my eyesight is going weaker and weaker. I know very well, but I know I have almost nothing to do for my eyes. We must confess before God, it is by the grace of God that we are breathing, moving, standing, talking, listening, working, making money. Bible says the earthquake is one of the signs of the end of the age. Matthew chapter 24 says there will be famines, earthquakes in various places, but the end is still to come. When end comes, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony, as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. That's why Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, understand the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up, to get up from your spiritual slumber. Why? Because our salvation is nearer and nearer now than when we first believed. Yes, today we are to study the book Joel. The message of Joel is very relevant today to us who are living at the edge of the end of the age. We know little about the person Joel. In the introductory verse, he identifies himself as son of Pethuel. That is all about Joel we can know. You know, in the whole Old Testament, his name Joel appears only one time here. Personally, we know he is the son of his father, Pethuel. Then who is his father, Pethuel? Also, we know almost nothing about his father, Pethuel. Also, his father's name, Pethuel, appears only one time here in whole Bible, including Old Testament and New Testament. But because of his frequent references to Zion and the house of God, we can guess, maybe he lived not far from Jerusalem. Traditionally, it is believed, it is said, maybe Joel ministers at the reign of Joash. Joash, you remember? Joash, the eighth king of southern kingdom, Judah, in the middle of 9th century BC. But what is clear about him is he was clear, concise, uncompromising preacher of repentance. His name, Joel, means, usually English speaker pronounce Joel. But in Hebrew pronunciation, Joel, we must put accent in El. El. El means what? God, yes. Jo means Jehovah, Yahweh. El means God. So Joel means Jehovah God. Jehovah is God. Yahweh is God. His name is very appropriate to the message of this book, which emphasizes God's sovereign work in human history. The courses of nature and nations are in his hand. We must know all the time God's restoration, God's blessing will come all the time only after judgment and repentance. Do you like judgment? Do you like repentance? Yes, we should repent anytime, every time. The principle of God's ruling is all the time God's recovering, God's restoration, and God's blessing come after what? After judgment and restoration. Sorry, judgment and repentance. Then we can say the key message of this book, Joel, is the day of the Lord. Yes, today's topic, I will focus on the words, the day of the Lord. From first to last, remember, the day of the Lord. Shall we say it together? The day of the Lord. One more time. The day of the Lord. Lord's day. The day of the Lord. Yes, not only in Joel, but also other prophetic books in the Old Testament. The consistent, steadfast theme of prophetic books in the Old Testament is the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Then this book, very short, only with three chapters. This short, brief book, Joel, is stronger, more powerful than any other prophetic book in the Old Testament in emphasizing, stressing, repeating this phrase, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Let me show you. Okay, you can see in your Bible together. Okay, let me show you the words, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament. Okay, first, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 says, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Yes, Isaiah has 66 chapters. Then one time appears the day of the Lord. And Jeremiah 46:10. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 10, but that day belongs to the Lord. That day belongs to the Lord means, in other version, it is said like this also, the day of the Lord, same. The Lord Almighty, a day of vengeance for vengeance on his foes. The souls will devour till it is satisfied, till it has quenched its thirst with blood. For the Lord Almighty will offer sacrifice in the lands of the north by the river Euphrates. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Oh, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. Then in Joel is a very short and brief book. How many chapters? Only three chapters. In this short book, the day of the Lord is repeated six times. At least six times. Shall we see it together in our book today, Joel? Okay. First, chapter 1, 15. You can read together with me. Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Okay. Alas, for that day, for the day of the Lord is near, it will come like destruction from the Almighty. You know, not like blessing, but like destruction from the Almighty. And next chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. How the day of the Lord is like? In verse 2, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Okay. Same chapter, chapter 2, verse 11. We read already as a key verse, chapter 2, verse 11. Okay. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and might are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Who can endure it? Who can survive it? Who can abide it? Nobody, apart from the grace of God. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 31. Chapter 2, verse 31. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Day of the Lord. Okay. Last chapter, chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Okay. Last, chapter 3, verse 18. In that day, on this context, on that day means the day of the Lord. Just following the context. Okay. Let us read the last. On that day, the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. The fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water of the valley of Acacias. Okay. When you think of the book of Joel, at least three things remember. This is the main key topics to say to us the what Joel is like. First, low-cost place. Also, in this book, Joel, we can see more than 10 times this word low-cost repeated, low-cost. You know, low-cost. Low-cost. First key word is low-cost plague and the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And finally, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Remember three topics whenever we open the book, Joel. First what? Low-cost plague. Low-cost plague. And the day of the Lord. And finally, pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Okay. The key theme of this book, Joel, is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Chapter one is the day of the Lord in retrospect. Retrospect means looking backwards, looking our past. Then next chapter 2 and 3 are the day of the Lord in prospect, looking forwards, looking our future. Okay, let us see briefly chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the day of the Lord in retrospect, looking back. In chapter 1, Joel begins with an account of locust plague that has devastated the land. Shall we see verse 4? Chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, what the locust swarm has left, the great locust have eaten. What the great locust have left, the young locust have eaten. What the young locust have left, other locusts have eaten. Six times the same word, locust, repeated. This means the black cloud, spiritually, the black clouds of insects has stripped the grape vines and the fruit trees, and finally ruined the grain harvest. The economy has been brought to further stand still by a drought. And finally, people are in a desperate condition, desperate situation. This is the story of chapter 1, the day of the Lord's looking their past, looking backwards because of their sinfulness, because of their rebellion against God, because of their adultery. And chapters 2 and 3, also the day of the Lord in prospect. That's why in this past, God declares, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, crying, with mourning, with repentance, with your confession against your sin. In these chapters, chapter 2 and 3, Joel makes effective use of this natural catastrophe as an illustration of a far greater judgment to come. Yes, the disaster from locusts is terrible, but compared to the terrible day of the Lord, the destruction by locust, insignificant, not big, small, compared to the terrible day of the Lord. And also in chapter 2, we can see again the words locust repeated. Chapter 2, verse 25. You can see chapter 2, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25 says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and other locusts. Repeated what was said in chapter 1, verse 4, we read already, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. The lands will be invaded by a swarming army. Like a locust, they will be speedy, also voracious. So in chapter 2 and 3, continually challenge them, press them, return to me, with big repentance. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This sentence is familiar with us. That's true? In what book we can see in this sentence, in the New Testament? Please. In what New Testament book we can see this sentence? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Two times quoted, repeated in the New Testament, Acts and Romans. Then this sentence is from the book Joel. Then today, when we say the day of the Lord, how can apply it? How can apply the day of the Lord in our Christian life, daily life? What does it mean when we say the day of the Lord? Yes, we know the topic of this book is the day of the Lord. Then what does it mean practically, actually, in our Christian life, in our faith life? the day of the Lord. Shall we say one more time together? The day of the Lord. Please do not forget. All the time remember the day of the Lord. Then what does it mean in our practical daily life? The day of the Lord. Yes, first, the day means both literally a day. How many hours? A day with 24 hours literally, but also at the same time, day means a certain specific period of time. Remember, the day means a day with 24 hours, also at the same time, a certain special period of time. Yes, in our application, we call Sunday is Lord's Day. Sunday, Lord's Day. Why? Why do we call Sunday Lord's Day? Because on Sunday early morning, our Lord Jesus defeated the last enemy to be destroyed, that is death, by rising from the dead. Yes, there is no question. Every Sunday is a day of the Lord to us. Is that true? Do you believe and confess every Sunday is the day of the Lord? And also Jesus says himself, I is the Lord of the Sabbath day. What does this mean? It means we can keep a certain day holy and special before God by acknowledging the Lord's Lordship on that day. Then according to Hebrews' message, the day which is called today is Lord's Day. Hebrews challenge and encourage us today. That's why today, if you hear his voice, if you hear his word, do not harden your hearts. Bible says today is a day of God's grace. Today is a day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. This can be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in no one else except the name of Jesus Christ. Then Bible says, today is the day of God's grace. Today is the day of God's salvation. So, Bible says, the day which is called today is whose day? Lord's Day, the day of the Lord. According to John chapter 1, verse 3, we know through Jesus Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Colossians 1:16-17 says, by Jesus Christ, all things were created. By him, for him, all things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It means Jesus Christ is the creator of time. Do you have time now? Do you have what? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the creator of time and space and material. If it is true, Jesus Christ is the creator of time, it means each day, every day, which is called today, is a gift from him. That's why the Bible says strongly, the day called today is a day of the Lord. It means any day, every day, not only Sunday, but also weekly day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each day, every day is the day of whom? the day of Lord. And also at the same time, the day of the Lord is a period at the end of this human history when God's final purpose will be fulfilled for humankind. This final and ultimate day of the Lord will begin with the return of Jesus Christ and will close, end with the cleansing of heavens and the earth by fire. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:10, also the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Shall we see it together? This verse is also very important in announcing about the day of the Lord. This mention is the final, ultimate, greatest day of the Lord. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 13. Let us read together. Ready, go. The day. Okay, start again. Okay, with me. Ready, go. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare, since everything will be destroyed in this way. What kind of the people ought you to be? You also live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and the speed is coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and elements will melt in the house. 13. But in keeping promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven. Yes. Also in these sentences, we read two times repeated, the day of the Lord, the day of God. On this final and greatest day of the Lord, this heaven, material, physical heaven, will disappear with the Lord. Also, all elements will be destroyed by fire. This earth, and everything in it will be laid bare. If everything will be destroyed by fire like this, question to us, what kind of man we should be? We also live holy and godly lives. We are looking forward to new heaven, new earth. It is home of righteousness. The New Testament emphasized the suddenness of the Lord's coming and the certainty of his judgments on unbelief and the restoration of heavens and earth by fire. Then our Lord Jesus will fulfill these prophetic promises on the day of the Lord, as he judges from the throne of glory. That's why Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 says, the Son of Man, when the Son of Man, pointing Jesus Christ, Son of Man will come in his glory with all angels together. Do you know how many angels are there? Nobody knows. But according to Revelation, millions, millions. And when Jesus comes, he will come accompanied by all angels together, and he will sit on his throne in the heavenly glory. All nations, all people will be called, gathered before him, individually, personally. We cannot escape that day. This day, a day will come when each individual person, individually, personally, privately, stand before him to be judged, to be evaluated how we lived in this world. This is the final and greatest day of our Lord. Then another topic, to prepare this day of the Lord successfully, faithfully, spiritually, what kind of position, what kind of attitude we should have. This is depending, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Joel is a type of Jesus Christ in announcing, pouring out of the Holy Spirit. I said already three main keywords. One is, number one, locust plague, and the day of the Lord, and finally, pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit is called another counselor. Yes, we know our Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor. Shall we say it together? Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor. According to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince, King of Peace. Yes, Jesus is a wonderful counselor, wonderful comforter, wonderful helper. Then, before and after his crucifixion and resurrection, before ascension, he mentioned continually, Holy Spirit as another counselor. He promised to send another counselor as his substitute to continue his remaining task, another counselor. Another means same or different. Both. Another means same, but different. Another means different, but same. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the same in essence as Trinity God's member, but different in persons. That's why the Holy Spirit is called another counselor. It means the Holy Spirit is the same exactly with Jesus Christ, in essence, in being God, in divinity, but different in persons. Before his crucifixion, Jesus promised in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask my Father to give you another counselor. So the Father God will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Also, John chapter 15, continually, chapter 14, 15, 16, God promised to send the Holy Spirit. And then finally, as soon as he was resurrected from the dead, when he met his 12 disciples, his greeting was, peace be with you. As my Father is sending me in this world, I am sending you in this world. And then he says, again, receive what? Receive Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then next book, Acts, in Acts chapter 1, just before his ascension to heaven, he left his final words. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait, do not move. Do not leave, do not depart from Jerusalem. Do not depart from church. Wait and pray until you receive Holy Spirit. And his final promise and prophecy is very well known to us. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the very end of the earth and the age. And then, after his ascension, they gathered together. Yes, they prayed honestly in one place all together. Then 10 days later, at the Pentecost means 50 days from Jesus' resurrection, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came down and they were filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ promised and prophesied. They became powerful witnesses of Jesus Christ about what Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' lordship, Jesus' saviorship, Jesus' Godship, they became witnesses. And then some others said, oh, they have too much wine. At that moment, Peter rose up and he spoke to them boldly. Let me explain it to you. Now we are not drunk. We are not drunk as you supposed. Now it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This was done by Joel long, long time ago. Maybe 800 years ago, it was prophesied through prophet Joel. We know this, shall we see it together? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Okay, let me read up only two verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So in the whole Bible, Joel's name appears how many times? 2 times, yes. In Joel chapter 1 and chapter 1, verse 1, and here, only 2 times. Okay, let us read from verse 17 to 21. Ready, go. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, remember last verse? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Also in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we see same sentence. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In these prophets, first pass was fulfilled at that moment in the book of Acts, first pass. The Holy Spirit comes and Young men see visions, old men dream dreams. They prophesy. But second part, from what verse? Verse 20 is still waiting for final, ultimate fulfillment. This prophet's promise will be fulfilled literally. When? Jesus returns. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Okay, remembering this sentence, and let us go to our text, Joel. Shall you stand up? Shall you stand up? And let us shout, declare, and proclaim Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 from verses 28 verse to 32. Okay. This is the prophets and Acts chapter 2 verse 17 to 21 already we read is the fulfillment of these prophets. Okay. Let us read together Joel 2 28 to 32. To faithfully, prayerfully, and loudly before God. Amen? Before God and before Satan, before our family members, brothers and sisters in Christ, as our confession, as our faith statement, as our proclamation. Okay, let us read together. Ready, go. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be thunder to darkness and the moon to blows before the coming of the grace and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance as the Lord has said among the survivors whom the Lord. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Okay. Shall we say together? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can we prepare this final, ultimate, greatest, glorious, but the most terrible day of the Lord successfully, faithfully? Our pressing task should be to proclaim, to declare his message of redemption, his message of salvation to the lost world, recognizing, remembering, realizing each day, every day, which is called today as the day of the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray together? Okay. Let us pray together. You can pray like this. Oh, Lord God, help us. Help me. Anoint me. Empower me to recognize, to realize each day, which is called today as the Lord's Day, as the Day of the Lord. And act on that faith. Shall we pray together? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Lord God. Lord God. Yes, Father God, you are creator of time, space, material, spiritual things, visible things, invisible things. All things were created by you, for you, through you, from you, for your glory, for your kingdom. The very reason, the very purpose why we live up to now is to glorify your name. Oh, Lord God, help us, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it all for your glory, for your kingdom, for your will. Father God, help us to remember all the time, not only in our memory, but also in our action, in our attitudes. Each day, which is called today, is your day. Very gift from you to do your will, to do the remaining task to establish your kingdom in this world. We are still breathing, working, and making money, and talking, listening by your grace, by your love, by your power, by your authority. Our faith is apart from you, we can do nothing. But at the same time, our faith is we can do everything through him who strengthens us, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. All glory, all honor, all exaltation, back to our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.